No, it's Just Plane Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly.
Tame it to the pilot, tame it to the tamer, tame it to the pilot.
Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot, that is me, along with Captain Keith today. We are your crew for Just Plane Radio, the show devoted to the aviation lifestyle and learning to fly. Keith, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing wonderful.
Are you that good?
Not really.
Okay. You're just saying that for, you know,
positive mental attitude.
All right, there you go. Think positive. In these times, that can go a long way.
Yes.
To get you through all the negativity we see swirling around.
That's
but
right.
But look, we're talking about flying and how the government works for us as aviators. And that almost sounds like an oxymoron, doesn't it?
It does kind of. Can you use that in the same sense, government and works?
No, that's too much work. I'd rather just get to these stories, and then we can decide whether we think they are an efficient use of governmental funds and taxes and things like that, or we have some more adjustments we need to put into place. I don't know. But the first one involves the Ocala International Airport. Well, Ocala Airport, which is pretty small, right? You've been there?
We've been there many, many times, flying there regularly.
It's a pretty, it's a good training airport, isn't it?
It is a very good training airport.
Yeah, because they only have like one runway, and it's what, 7,000?
No, they have two runways.
They do have two. Okay.
Yes.
But it's, you know, it's out in the, you know, the I don't know, not the boondocks of Florida, but it's not like, you know, it's a little bit out there off the beaten path as far as Florida city sizes. Would you agree?
That is true, but it is also
up and coming.
Well, it's a very, very rich city.
Is it? Now, see, I didn't know
it's
that.
It's the horse capital.
Ah, that's true. That's right. It's horse country in Florida.
Very, very powerful horse country there.
Okay. Well, that explains
most
why.
Most racehorses come from Ocala.
They, you know, the city council there has approved a bunch of money this year to improve the Ocala airport, which is good. I'm thinking, all right, this is a good thing. You know, they're going to dump some money to make, you know, flying in there even more enjoyable. But then I started looking at the story.
Great little restaurant there, by the way.
I'm sure. I mean, as most little small towns, you know, like that would be. I mean, that's why I say it would be an awesome little airport to fly out of Orlando or one of the bigger cities, go visit, have a hamburger, fly back. Food's probably awesome.
And from Orlando Executive, where we're located, it does qualify for cross country.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Because it's 51 nautical miles or something like that.
Yeah, but I bet the food's good. Despite the horses, I don't
it
think
is.
They serve up horse meat or anything.
No,
like
they
that.
Don't.
No,
they
that,
don't.
But you could go there, see a horse race, or go to one of the stables or something like that. It'd be kind of a cool trek. But when I saw these, when I saw this story, you know, the first time I thought, well, that's a good thing. You know, they're putting their money where their mouth is. They want to improve the flying conditions there at the Ocala Airport. And then I started looking at the story. And I see that one of the things they're spending, I don't know, let's see. It looks like about
almost $50,000.
Almost $50,000 on one item, which happens to be a new electronic marquee sign for the airport. So, like, on the street there, I guess it gives directions to fly, you know, turn here. But $50,000? I don't know. It doesn't say how big this sign is, and it doesn't say what it does. It just says it's electronic. So I'm thinking, man, for $50,000, this thing better, you know, they better be showing, like, the Super Bowl on this thing when, you know, when it airs or something. You know, I mean, it just seems a little absorbent, you know, just crazy.
Yes.
Does it?
To me,
for
it
a
does.
Sign?
I mean, for a sign, I would think. But, you know, it's probably one of those new, you know, LED, whatever they are, that
QLEDs.
Are really, really bright to guide you in there.
Well, I guess.
Of course, it'll probably blind pilots as they're flying in. You know.
Well, I mean, you know, an upgrade like that might be good, I guess, for the general public, so they have a good sign, and they should.
Birmingham has an airport like that.
It just seems a little crazy on the price, but you know
when you're looking for the Birmingham airport, you just look for the big Coca-Cola sign.
And that's your signal.
That then you know you got the right place. If you could see the Coca-Cola sign, you're good.
Well, maybe, you know, in Ocala, they should just have a giant horse or something.
There you go.
Yeah, that can't be $50,000. And then it just kind of points in here, and you follow the horses into the airport. I don't know. But there's that, and then they're spending almost $400,000 on parking lot improvements. What I don't see on here is elements that actually improve the runway and stuff. And I'm assuming some of that is in there. I mean, they're building a 17,000 square foot terminal, so obviously that makes that's going to affect a lot of things in a good light. But I'm not so sure I'm on board with the sign. Even the parking lot thing seems like $400,000 really would take that much. I mean, I guess if they're doing a multi-level thing and trying to get with the big leagues.
They're adding three spaces.
Of course. Yeah. So, I don't know, government at work. You can take it for what it's worth. I don't want people to get the wrong idea. I wish them the best. I hope these are all great improvements that have been needed for some time and will only lead to more enjoyment of the Ocala Airport when you want to fly in there. But I don't hear any upgrades to the restaurant. But if you say the food's there is good already, maybe you don't need to fix something that ain't broke.
Yeah, the restaurant's good.
Okay.
The runways are good. The approaches are good. The controllers do a great job there. So, mm-hmm.
So there's not much else.
I guess all they could find to fix was the sign in the parking lot.
Well, fix or, hey, we got this money. We got to spend it on something. What do we do? I mean, what could they do to improve an airport like that?
Well, that is the way the government works,
How so? They spend money they don't.
Well, if they don't use the money, then they lose it. So they just find something to spend the money on.
Well, you've been there. What could they use, $50,000 to spend on the airport that actually would be a nice improvement for the pilots, you think, flying in and out of there? Is there anything you can think off the top of your head or no?
No, I mean, the restrooms are nice. The restaurant, I mean, they could make the restaurant a little bit bigger.
Sure.
To hold more
less
people.
Less weight. Right.
You know, it's not a bad place at all.
But the facilities are nice and stuff, the restrooms and everything. Yeah. I mean, see, that would be something I'd be like, okay, improve the restroom facilities, put in a cappuccino machine, that kind of stuff,
Yeah, you can't get those there. So that would be an improvement to the restaurant, I guess, for you.
Well, I mean, in the FBO. I mean, Shelter, I guess, is part of that terminal upgrade. So they'll probably put in some of those as part of that effort, I would hope.
I don't know.
No?
I don't know.
Yeah, well, okay. But, I mean, what else would you want to have as a pilot, though? Is there anything you could do to the lighting or anything like that?
No, for
the runways are, once they're built, they're done, and you don't have to.
It's a precision runway, so it's got precision lighting, everything. So, and it's got GPS approaches there, so it's good.
Yeah, you don't really need to have anything else.
No.
So all this other stuff they're spending the money on is, well.
Spend the money, dude.
Something to spend the money on. Right. Okay, what about birds? Yeah, that's kind of a little bit out there with the horses and all. They got more birds over there, you think?
Actually, I shouldn't say run into less birds, but I've seen a lot less birds at Ocala than I have at Orlando.
Really?
Executive, where we're based.
Well, you would think if they're, known for their horses, they would have a lot of birds out there too, wouldn't they?
You would think, but
not so much.
We have a lot more birds here by us.
Yeah, well, we have your standard ATIS warning about birds.
But our ATIS also includes things like alligators and turtles on the taxiways as well.
Well, there's that.
Which you don't have out there in Ocala.
They don't have the gators as much? Too far north? It's a little cooler?
No, they just don't have the water right around the airport itself, where we have that little pond.
You have to be on the lookout for horses.
Horses crossing the runway. That's be a problem.
That would be an issue. But I think they can keep those at bay.
They keep them corralled.
Mm-hmm. Gators, not so much. But, all right, well, it sounds like a place we need to visit. But birds, not so much a problem there. But we do have them here at Orlando Executive. And we had the story this week of what they do to determine how to properly control the bird populations around airports. And this got way more detailed than I ever thought. There's evidently a group at the National Museum of Natural History. And basically, they have this group of them up there that their whole job is people ship them dead birds and feathers.
Yes.
The remains of birds from bird strikes, and then they have to determine what bird it was. And with that knowledge, once they figure it out, they're like, okay, you got geese there in Orlando. You got to do something about the geese. And maybe can zero in on an effective way to, you know, keep the geese at bay so we have less bird strikes in Orlando of geese.
So it doesn't happen here much.
What, bird strikes, period, or geese?
No, geese.
Well, yeah, I just picked one out of my,
yes,
you know, out of the air there. But that's what they do, and I don't know how I feel about that. I think there has to be someone who does that, but that'd be kind of a weird gig. Almost as weird as hosting a radio show about flying airplanes, maybe?
And having
full-time
yes.
gig. New career for yours truly? Maybe. More coming up on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
With Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Increase altitude. Stall.
You can always go around. If it don't look right coming down, don't wait until your side is sliding on the ground. You can always.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Keith. We are your crew as we navigate the latest aviation news and information and stuff about bird strikes, or at least the group that looks at bird feathers and tries to figure out what birds they are.
And carcasses.
The carcasses, the feathers, the fragments left over from a bird strike, which none of us want.
What would you do if you were shipped a bird carcass?
Eat it. That's usually what happens. Hey, look, we got a fresh shipment from Omaha Steaks. They're doing birds now. Awesome. Wait, that looks terrible. I thought they were supposed to take the feathers off first. Yeah, but that would be just me, I guess.
But that's what happens. People ship their carcasses that they find on their airport.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the mob does that, too, to send warnings
yes.
and things. But this is actually for scientific research. They send it to Dr. Dove. You almost think this is like a hose, right?
Yeah.
This story was put out. Maybe we need to Snopes it and make sure we're not getting hosed. Because, yeah, you send your bird carcass to Dr. Dove and her team there at the
Museum of National. Are you saying this is fake news?
I'm just saying it could be. And God knows we never, you know, check our sources. So we don't really care. We don't want the truth to get in the way of a good story.
That's right.
So that's why we're talking about it. But yeah, supposedly Dr. Dove, that is literally her name, is in charge of analyzing these bird carcasses and determining what species of birds are flying into these airplanes. So, and this has been going on for some time. This is one of those stories where I had never heard of such a thing, and I'm just fascinated with it. I mean, it'd be interesting to kind of go visit their, I don't know.
Their lab?
I guess. Would it be a lab or a bird morgue or what
would that be? I would think it's a lab. But
okay, we'll go
with
that.
The fact that they have 620,000 different kinds of feathers.
Yeah, that's a lot.
You know?
Yeah, a lot of tickling going on up there.
You can have an awful lot of... What a party that would be, huh?
Hey, let's have a tickle party. I know where to go. Yeah, but, you know, it's necessary information, and I would assume it has produced some positive results because it's been going on for like 50 years. Is that what it said?
Well, it says that they use a technique. They use DNA testing, but they also... have a technique that they use that was developed by the Smithsonian 50 years ago to look at the microscopic features of the downy on the feathers.
And that's what tells them which species of bird it is? Hmm. Do we even know, like, for instance, here in Orlando, where we're based out of, Flight Training Professionals, Orlando Executive Airport, they always warn about these flock of birds. Is there a particular species of bird?
Depends on the time of year.
Yeah. But I mean, it can't be that many, can it? Or is it just like, yeah, so what is it normally? Like, it's crow. We got crow. Or what's usually flying around the airport?
Look, we have lots of I think they're pigeons, actually, I think.
Pigeons?
Yeah.
Hmm.
But exactly what all they are, because we got all kinds of stuff. We got bald eagles and everything flying around there. But yeah, eagles, they just kind of sit there and watch you.
Well, yeah. And
they don't usually do much.
They would be solitary type birds. Right. They're warning more about flocks and things, aren't they? And those flocks of birds that we see different times of year, I mean, we got the blackbirds type things or the birds that are coming down from north or migrating or whatever, I guess. Don't know. I'm not a bird guy.
I'm not a bird guy either, so okay. I really don't know exactly what they are. But
what hit your plane? Bird. It's good enough for me.
Most of them are very small that they actually hit the airplane.
Yeah.
But every once in a while you have a big one.
Every once in a while, yeah. I mean, one of those eagles, those are massive.
Yeah, turkey vulture is pretty big too.
Oh, yeah, that'd be right up there. Now, you have seen the results of these bird strikes over the years
in your
career. How many you figure you've seen in the last, well, you've been doing this, what, 30?
30 years.
Yeah. How many bird strikes in 30 years have you seen the results of?
I've probably seen the results of probably 50 at least. Personally been a part of probably 5 or 6.
Yeah. And was that when you were commercial flying or
both.
GA?
Both.
Even split?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And obviously GA, it's a bigger deal than a commercial flight, wouldn't you agree? You got a bigger plane. Bigger plane, bigger bird, doesn't matter as much.
It depends on where it hits.
Yeah, if it hits you when you're cruising over the Hudson River and there's a bunch of them.
Well, that's a bigger deal.
That's a big deal, as Sully, you know, found out and delivered the goods and stepped up to the plate and did what he needed to do, but... You know, but most of the time, it's not going to be something that drastic.
No. Most of the time, it's just one.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time, they don't do enough damage to really warrant anything.
Yeah.
But sometimes, they hit in a critical surface, and it will cause some damage.
Well, of course, anything that hits your aircraft, I would imagine almost for most part, I'm thinking that's an automatic, I'm going to have to change my pants as soon as I land.
If you even know about it.
What, know about changing my pants?
Well, that too, but knowing about the bird hitting the airplane.
Well, if you felt something, anything, wouldn't you feel it?
Not necessarily.
Oh, really? You wouldn't even feel the impact necessarily? You just land or the plane would start reacting differently?
No, you don't even notice that.
Really? You just see it at the once you land, you're like, oh my god, yeah, half my wings missing.
Once you land and you do the post flight, and you know, in our case, tie the airplanes down.
Yeah,
and you see the remains or
yeah. Hey, know, I don't remember this beak sticking out the side of my aircraft. What the heck is this?
Yeah, it's probably not going to be the beak.
Well, good point.
So, yeah, so that's when you notice it, but you're really not going to notice the airplane acting any different.
Hmm. What are you more afraid of? And maybe afraid is not the right word. Are you concerned more about the bird strikes or the drones?
To be honest with you, I'm not really concerned about either one.
Yeah, it's rare, and they're too small
to really do any damage.
As long as you need to be prepared for this stuff. It happens. It's all that worst case scenario. But if anything were to happen, you just go to your checklist, emergency checklist, and you're good to go.
Yeah, we've had it happen, and you know, we live here in Florida, so especially you fly over the shoreline, you get a lot of seagulls. We do get some seagulls here, but not near as much as on the coast itself.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had some of those go through windshields, things like that on an airplane. And it can be disastrous.
Yeah, why don't they see us, though? I mean, why aren't birds pretty good at being able to avoid an aircraft?
They are, but I'll tell you, you know, we have some new airplanes, and they're plain white, and we're noticing a much higher incidence of birds coming at us, and we're thinking it's because the airplanes are white,
and they're not. And they being think able to you're a us. Giant bird.
So we're going to put some stripes or do something to these airplanes.
They see this giant white thing flying through the air. Mama, I'm coming to you. Oh, poor baby.
Doesn't have the guts to do that again.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere. And you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Keith. We are your crew today as we navigate the latest aviation news and information. Okay, so Cirrus has announced their version 2 of their Vision Jet, which has been just making a ton of news the last year or two. Have you flown in one of those things yet?
I have not.
But, I haven't either, but I don't even have my pilot certificate. But still, I thought by now, surely they would have reached out and said, hey, Greg, come on, let's go for a ride. But they've been selling them so quickly, and the backlog of deliveries is so long. Very few even media people have gone up in those things. Tom Haines from AOPA has, but, you know, he does everything.
He does
everything. Yeah. You know, but it hasn't worked its way down to our level yet, so it may be a while. So much so that they've already come out with a version 2. But the upgrades that they put out for this thing, I don't understand any of this lingo.
Do you feel left out?
I do. That's why I'm bringing it up now. I'm figuring you can enlighten me. Or it's really not for me. It's for the person right now, for you listening right now. I am taking on your role and asking Keith to please explain what these new upgrades mean and what they could lead to in the future as far as...
That's not what you're trying to do. It's a good thing I got my hip waders on today. But anyway...
getting deep in here, folks.
New technology, auto throttles. You set the power to... You set the thrust for takeoff.
Wait, I know what it is. It's like that little lever I have in my leaf blower. When I press it and I get it going full blast and I flip the lever and it just stays there and I don't got to hold the finger down anymore.
There you go.
That's what it is?
That's what it is. Yep.
See?
You could fly one of those Vision Jets.
Pure genius. I'm a natural. Vision Jet, leaf blower, same philosophy, same mechanics, that kind of stuff, you know. That's just why I'm here where I am.
Kind of works with you, too. They all blow hard.
Yep. Hits keep on coming, folks. And we'll try to make a few more next. Stay close to Just Plane Radio.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
With Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I was the youngest pilot in Pan Am history. When I was 4, the pilot let me ride in the cockpit and fly the plane with him. And I was 4, and I was great. And I would have landed it, but my dad wanted us to go back to our seats.
Airplanes!
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Keith. We are your crew, navigating the latest aviation news and information. The new Vision Jet, well, new in the last year or two, has already gotten an upgrade, and they put out a press release on what these new elements are. So I would imagine it's faster, smarter, stronger, and all that kind of stuff. Is that true, Keith, from what you're reading, or what?
That's what they say, yes.
That's what they say.
And it can go higher.
It can go higher. It's rated for a higher altitude now.
Now go up to flight level 310, so 31,000 feet, which is in RVSM, reduced vertical separation.
Which means what for people who don't know? I know, of course, but...
Go ahead.
No, well, I'd rather have you explain it.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's the reverse. Why do I keep saying reversed? Reduced vertical separation between aircraft. So instead of having 2,000 feet between aircraft, it's only 1,000 feet.
It means that they can operate within 1,000 feet altitude of another aircraft?
Yes.
Why is that matter on the model of aircraft? Why is that? I don't get it.
It's above an altitude. Above 28,000 feet.
I gotcha. So once you get over that altitude, you can fly closer together.
But there's some restrictions on the aircraft that are able to do that. Have to have the autopilot on, things like that. So this airplane is now capable of doing that.
Got it. So it's just you still have to have the skills and stuff to be able to operate in that airspace.
Yes.
So do you see
and that
this?
That has been a bone of contention, if you will, with people like airline pilots, for instance.
They don't want them up there.
So
Cirrus has been able to get that approval through the FAA?
Yes.
And that's despite some blowback from
this is, you know, you have to understand that this is coming from the Airline Pilots Association and some of the other airline unions, because airline pilots go through a lot of training for this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And so now you can take a guy who has a single engine license, has gone through training on this jet, however.
Yeah.
And gone through training in these programs, and they are able to fly in the same airspace as an airliner.
Got it. So, I mean, I can understand the commercial airliners are thinking like, hey, we don't want some yeehaw up there, which is that's how they look at them, right?
They do.
Yeah. And, you know, that may or may not be accurate. So, but they still have to get certified on the aircraft. And, you know, that user group conflict thing will also happen. You know, that'll always
be. You're going to have that in anything, though.
Yeah. So. But as far as them getting that approval, was that actually a mechanical upgrade they did on the version 2, you think, this G2?
It is.
So what did they have to do? Just like, create more pressure rating stuff for the cabin, you think? Or how does that happen?
It's software stuff between the avionics and the autopilot, how it interfaces. There's more checks that have to be done on the airplane. So it will take a little bit more to keep it up to date. If you don't do the required checks, then you can't fly in the RVSM airspace.
Yeah, we're talking about mechanical structure of the aircraft and the ability of the pilot.
It's not the structure of the airplane.
No.
Because that was the same. They haven't changed that at all.
Okay.
It has to do with the autopilot function and the navigation function that has to have...
Be more exact.
Tighter standards.
Got it. Okay.
Is what that is.
All right. So they've gotten that approval for that stuff now. Understood. All right. So what else? So we talked about the auto throttle. Which is that a feature that like commercial pilots usually have all the time at their disposal or something?
Not all airplanes have it, no.
No? So that advantage of having that auto throttle does what? Just that you have to do less?
It is less work for the pilots because you set the power lever, you set it for takeoff. Once you get up to your takeoff or finished with the takeoff and you go into the climb phase, you just set it for climb.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called a FADEC system, does the rest.
Yeah,
so
okay.
The fuel mixture, the amount of fuel that you're burning is set, the speed is set basically, and it's a lot less work for the pilot. And then once you level off at cruise, you just put it back into the cruise phase.
Got it. Well, okay, you mentioned, so FADEC and autopilot, auto throttle, are they kind of the same thing?
They work together? Yes.
Okay, but they're two separate systems.
Yes.
Understood, kind of. But because I did I flew the FADEC diesel-powered 172, and I loved it because I didn't have to do any of the extra stuff of mixing the fuel and all that.
It's the same thing.
Greg-proof airplanes. That's what's happening right now. See, I could fly that Vision G2, don't you think?
Yeah.
It'd be fairly easy, wouldn't it?
Well, maybe not for you.
Not for me? Seriously, comparing it to a 172?
I mean, they are easier to fly than a 172, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there you go. Then I'm going to say
they
yes,
have less
I could
work.
Fly it. Okay. So what else? So we got the auto throttle. We got the new standard to fly higher altitudes. What else are they saying about
this? They've increased the range just a little bit.
Is that because it can fly higher?
And faster.
And then when it loses power, it can just drift down farther?
Yeah. And also the software upgrades on it allow you to, if you have an iPad or something like that, where like if you're using 4Flight like we use, you can do your flight planning, everything there. When you get in your airplane, it automatically Bluetooths to your flight plan.
Hmm.
And so you don't have to program everything in individually. It automatically happens there.
Yeah.
You can do the database updates that way as well.
That sounds nice. So they're just making it a little bit more user-friendly on the software side of things.
Yes.
It doesn't say in the article in this release, I would assume this is all they're going to be producing now, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So, if you haven't gotten one, if you were on the list of deliveries, you're going to get this, get this new version of the Vision Jet if you hadn't gotten delivery already of one that you ordered like a year ago, right?
Yep.
Well, that's pretty nice.
And they've got cabin upgrades as well, so it's a little quieter. That's quiet. It's always nice.
Yeah, I already thought those things were super quiet as it was.
I don't know exactly what like the dB level is in it, but they're supposed to have increased it to make it even quieter yet.
Give it more of a luxury
type
of I love that. I love the idea of the cabin being super quiet. That was the one thing I didn't really like about the 172. Because, you might as well have the windows open. Not much difference. Wouldn't you agree?
Have you ever opened the windows in a 172?
Yeah, I did.
There's quite a big difference.
Well, okay, it is, but I'm just saying, still, there's not a ton of sound insulation. You got your headphones, and you got your, noise cancellation and all that stuff. But
that's
the way
most airplanes are, though.
I know, but wouldn't it be nice if we didn't have to have noise cancellation because the cabin was so quiet and you were just cruising like you're in a Cadillac or something?
It would be very nice, but the problem is the weight.
The weight of all the extra insulation?
Yeah.
Well, they just put a bunch of aluminum foil in there, and it's real high tech. Dampening stuff. You think it's all a weight thing. Well, yeah, because they always complain about more paint jobs. And if they're worried about the paint adding weight, I guess sound insulation would do the same, wouldn't it?
And so everything is a trade-off. You want to try and get the highest payload for the particular airplane that you're building.
Yeah. Well, what are they saying on the Vision Jet? Is the payload increased too? They improved that number? Not
much.
Yeah,
let's see what they say here.
And then I forget, the Vision Jet is a 4-seater, right? Or is it a 2? Does it say there?
You actually get 6 seats in there, I think.
Is it that many, really?
I don't remember, to be honest with you.
I mean, it's not about payload with that thing as much as it is
5 adults speed. And 2 children is the seating capacity.
Okay, well then that would definitely be at least a 6-seater then, wouldn't it? Yeah, I guess it does have, it has 3 windows in the back of it, so it must have a pretty good-sized cabin there, doesn't it? See, I go back to the fact that Cirrus hasn't, invited us to go up and take a ride yet. Now, they invited Dennis, Captain Dennis, because he knows one of the guys at the plant there. And where's it? Nashville or something like that? Is that where they are? Knoxville, I believe. They got a facility in Knoxville, Duluth, Minnesota. Duluth, that's where he is, because he's up in Minnesota.
He's up in Minnesota.
And he knows one of the Cirrus folks and says, yeah, fly your Mooney over here. We will show you what it's like to fly in a real airplane.
Has he done it?
He has not yet. It's on his list of things to do.
Is he scared to fly in a real airplane?
No, I don't think he would ever say that out loud.
Oh.
Anyway, that was just me embellishing his story just slightly, as I do from time to time. But, you know, you have your people that are very passionate about flying these Cirrus. They think they're super easy, and, you know, it's a little different setup because you got the one-handed yoke kind of thing off to your left side, right?
Yes. See, I enjoy flying them, I got to say.
Well, we'll take that for what it's worth, which is more than what I say is, you know, usual. More coming up on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Never feel sorry for a man who owns a plane.
So here I stand, and then again I say, I'm hoping we can make some wishes out of airplanes.
Can we pretend that airplanes in the night sky like shooting stars?
Hey,
I can really use a wish right now.
Wish right now. Wish right now.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, a co-pilot. That is me, along with Captain Keith. All right, so a couple little tidbits to share with our passengers before we wrap things up today. Here's something you can plan out for, well, in advance. And this is pretty cool. Now, there's this group, the Arsenal of Democracy. They have an executive planning committee. And evidently, they announced about a week ago at a press conference that they're going to have a flyover on May 8th, 2020, to commemorate the 75th anniversary of the end of World War II in Europe and in the Pacific. So what they're planning to do is having like over 100 warbirds fly over the National Mall and Lincoln Memorial, Washington Memorials that day as part of the celebration. And that will be quite an historic event. Have you ever heard of such a thing?
I have not. But it sounds like it'd be awfully cool to go to.
Heck yeah. I mean, they're expecting, like I said, like 100 vintage warbirds of various types to participate in this thing in 2020, May 8th, by the way. So if you want to plan now to, you know, start, you know, going up to D.C. for that event. You know, book your hotels now because that is going to be a major, major event in 2020. So you got over a year to prepare. But that does sound pretty awesome.
Just a year. Just over a year. Year and 3 months or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. We'll go with that. Sure. But it does sound like a pretty cool event. And, I don't know if this has ever been done to this scale before, and that's why they're planning so far in advance. But now you know and can plan accordingly and thank us, to get your hotel rooms now, because I have a feeling if you get them now, you can score a pretty good deal as opposed to waiting, because it's going to fill up big time when it gets out to more people that this is going on. Everybody and their brothers are going to want to be up there in that part of the country to see this firsthand, I have no doubt.
There'll be a lot of other stuff going on there as well.
Yeah,
gonna
of
have
course.
A dinner, and they're going to... let's see, the Dwight Eisenhower Museum will be dedicated that day.
Yeah, there'll be tons of stuff.
Yeah, all stuff, kind of stuff.
Dinners, you know, they'll have playthings for the kids. Now, God, who knows? I mean, it's going to be bigger than any air show. I mean, 100 vintage aircraft, have they ever had that many in the air at once? I don't remember hearing anything like that before.
I don't know.
Other than war.
They've done this stuff before.
But
I'm just not aware of it. Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds pretty insane.
You need to get them on the air.
Well, okay. What, the Arsenal of Democracy, that group?
Yes.
Okay. Whatever that. It sounds like the Skulls or something. I don't know. But yeah, it sounds like a pretty powerful group. So I'm sure they won't give us the time of day. But we can reach out. If you're listening, feel free to call us up anytime. Because we know you'll just block our phone calls. All right, another big story. I don't know if it's a big story, but it's interesting at the bare minimum. You know, with all the stuff going around with fuel right now, I mean, fuel is actually pretty cheap. Cheapest it's been in a while. Is it for your car? For the car, yeah. I was just going to say, is it filtered down to avgas at all? Or is it?
No.
No, it's still just as expensive.
Not by us, anyway.
Yeah. You haven't seen a dip at all?
No.
Really? Well, that kind of blows. Okay, so it's cheaper to get to the airport and get in your airplane, not necessarily cheaper to fly it. But, you know, who knows what's going to happen for the future as we get more and more options to fly electric. And, you know, we've talked about the Sunflyer trainer. It looks like it could be the first one to really maybe have a potential impact for flight schools like flight training professionals. I mean, Ed was talking about that a few weeks ago. You've been looking at that too, Keith, or what?
I have not.
You're leaving that up to Ed?
I'm leaving that up to Ed.
Yeah. Keith's more of old school. He'd rather just fly a plane and really doesn't care if it's electric or gas powered or avgas powered as long as it flies. Is that the deal?
I'm sticking with what works for now.
Yeah. You don't want to be one of these test pilots flying these electric airplanes?
Not when I have other people's lives in my hand, though.
Well, okay. That's understandable, I guess. But Rolls-Royce, Siemens, and Airbus have teamed up, and they are planning to break the 300-mile-per-hour barrier in 2020 with a electric aircraft. And this is going to be Avro, is that how you say it? Avro. Avro J1 or RJ100. So how big of a plane is that? What's an RJ100? What's the seat configuration of something like that?
I don't know how many seats it holds, but it's a high-wing four-engine airplane.
Yeah. So it's at least going to be a 20-seater or something like that, wouldn't it? Yeah. Like a 10 or 20 or something? But anyway, that's the test bed they're using for this electric aircraft that they're working on together. And they hope to break the 300-mile-per-hour barrier in 2020 with that, which would be pretty decent, wouldn't it, for an aircraft like that? Or is that average for what we have now?
As far as speed? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, exactly. So a typical RJ-100, I mean, do they fly much faster than that, or is that about their cruising speed?
Are they talking miles per hour, or are they talking knots?
Well, it says miles per hour here. What do you think?
Well, typically, like a CRJ is going to, I mean, they're going to do 500 miles an hour, so 300 miles an hour is not going to be all that earth-shattering. I mean, it is for electric, yes.
Well, yeah, exactly. And it may do 300 miles per hour for like 3 minutes. I'm hoping it goes longer than that. Evidently, that milestone has not been breached yet, and they're planning to do that in 2020. So it's another small step or small flight or flight path in the right direction. I don't know. And that's a good thing. The sooner they can make that happen, I think the better for all of us. I'd love it. I was talking about my leaf blower. I bought my first battery-powered leaf blower last week.
How's that working?
Great. Lasts all of 10 minutes, so I got to move around really fast. But when it works, it's great. So if it stops, you know, midstream, well, obviously there's a little downside still. They got to work out those
coffee
bugs.
Break.
Same thing in the airplane, right?
That's right.
Hey, the engine stopped. Let's have some coffee. And on that disturbing note, we'll wrap it up. Till next time, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to lead my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.